Today we're talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an issue that every single one of us in this room will have to deal with at some point in time in our life. Every one of us has to deal with whether we will forgive or whether we'll ask for forgiveness. It is an issue that is common through all of humanity. We must all decide if we will forgive those who have hurt us or offended us or betrayed us, or if we're going to hang on to it. Likewise, if we're the ones that have, you know, been the one to hurt, to offend, or betray, we have to decide if we will seek out forgiveness. And for many, the process of forgiveness can be quite difficult. Probably everyone in this room at some point in time has had something significant happen to them. They've forgiven the person, and then you would find maybe months or years later, you would be dealing with the same issue again around forgiveness. And it can be a little bit confusing sometimes to believers as they think, well, I thought I had forgiven that person. And the truth is you had. It's just that hurts and wounds, just as though a physical cut goes deep and it has to heal in layers, many times forgiveness works the same way. And so we often have to come back and deal with something more than once. Not always, but it happens. A worthwhile life requires forgiveness. If you want to live a life worth living here on this side of heaven, it requires you to forgive those who have wronged you, betrayed you. It requires you to forgive yourself for the things that you've done. Unforgiveness has consequences in our lives in this world. Unforgiveness leads to anger in our lives. It leads to bitterness within our heart. Those two things, anger and bitterness, can have negative effects on your physical, your emotional, and spiritual well-being. Even researchers that are not believers are identifying the fact that unforgiveness or bitterness creates in our body physical reactions that cause disease. I mean, just consider, if you just break that word down, what is it? Dis-ease. So you lack ease or peace within you. So it has effects within our life, within our body, within our emotional being, our spiritual well-being. And one of the things that I've noticed is that a heart that's in that condition of anger or bitterness or unforgiveness, a heart that is in that condition finds it so much easier to disobey or to simply outright rebel against God. Unforgiveness will drain your inner joy, and it will take away your enjoyment of life. It'll often drain your energy, your physical energy. It will take it away from you. You'll find it hard to muster up the energy. Many times, it's funny, because many times it'll be Sunday mornings where you'll have a difficult time getting out of bed and coming to church. That's one of the indicators many times of unforgiveness operating in your life. Not for anybody here, obviously, because you're all in church, right? Take away your physical energy. I've noticed that unforgiveness can create confusion in your mind. Creates confusion in your mind in this way. It will often lead you to feeling suspicious towards other people, especially other believers. You'll question their motives and wonder. You'll replay conversations in your head and wonder if they're saying things to hurt you or slight you. Unforgiveness produces that in you. It creates a confusion that causes you to look suspiciously at other people. Suspicion isn't from God. Suspicion is actually the opposite of discernment. So if you're suspicious towards people, it should be an indicator that you might be dealing with some unforgiveness in your life. Without even realizing it, you can begin to filter all of your relationships through the lens of unforgiveness. Max Licato, let's see if we can get this. He wrote this. Says, forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. Nelson Mandela, he said this. He said, resentment or unforgiveness is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. That's good stuff, right? Forgiveness is characterized by freedom. Forgiveness is characterized by freedom. If there's one thing that you could walk away with today, like one phrase, it would be that. Forgiveness is characterized by freedom. Forgiveness will set you free. Now, one of the ways, here's one of the things. Here's one of the ways you can tell if you've forgiven somebody or not. Because, you know, maybe you are working through something right now. Right? Maybe somebody's hurt you, offended you, or maybe you've done something that you're regretting. Here's one of the ways that you can tell if you've forgiven somebody, if they've hurt you. If you find yourself, right, when you're, like, at night in your bed and, you know, it's quiet or you're just alone, you're alone with your thoughts. When you are alone with your thoughts, if you find yourself rehearsing speeches you want to give to that person, right, the things you wish you had said to them, maybe the things, you know, the argument you want to give back or the way that you'd like to inflict pain back on them, if you find yourself rehearsing speeches to people, that's an indicator that you haven't forgiven. Now, if you're the one to have done the hurt, if you find yourself reliving the moment, the thing that you've done, if it just churns around inside you and you actually feel, it can actually even feel good, the guilt or the shame or the regret can feel good in the sense that you feel like it's what you deserve because you've inflicted something upon somebody else. If you find yourself reliving that moment and unable to get past it, that's another indicator that you haven't forgiven. You haven't forgiven or received forgiveness or even forgiven yourself. Those are two ways that you can know if forgiveness is actually happening in your life. Forgiveness is costly. There is a price attached to it. I mean, think about it. It's even reflected in the language that we use. What do we talk about when somebody should give us an apology? What do we say? I'm owed an apology. There's a cost attached to it. I'm owed it. Forgiveness is costly. Whether you're the one who needs to forgive or the one who needs forgiveness, there is always a cost attached to it. Now, of course, we would believe, as Christians, right, we would believe that Jesus has paid the price for our sin through his death and resurrection. And so he offers to us forgiveness. That costs something, right? It costs God something to bring forgiveness for us. And so because it cost him something and he then gives it away to us freely, we are actually commanded and obligated to give forgiveness away as freely as he does. But in saying that, that doesn't mean it won't feel like it's going to cost you, because it will feel like it does. It'll feel like it's going to hurt, that it's going to cost you something. And what I think is happening there when we're in that process of it feeling like it's going to cost us something, I actually think what's happening there is that we are still in the transition from the old to the new, right? The old creation to the new creation. I think that we're still in the transition of from death to life. In biblical times, if you owed someone a debt and you couldn't pay it, do you know what happened? You became their slave. And they could take you and throw you in jail if they wanted. But if you owed a debt to someone and you couldn't pay it, you became their slave. Unforgiveness will only ever lead you to slavery. It'll only ever lead you into places where you feel as though you're the prisoner. Whether it's that you're a prisoner to the belief that you're owed, or whether you're a prisoner to your own regret and guilt, unforgiveness will only lead you into places of slavery. Here's the thing. Regardless of where you're at today in your life, God does not want you to live in that place. He's paid the price for you. When you came to Jesus, the call to knowing Christ was complete, right? The call to knowing him meant complete surrender. Jesus isn't just an addition in your life, correct? He's not just a part of it, you know, one little compartment or component. When you commit to Christ, it is a call to surrender your whole life to him. It isn't just meant to be something that you add on. It's a call to full surrender. Now, one of the ways we describe that biblically is that we say we die to ourselves, and then we die to ourselves so that we can live in Christ. So we're in this room, our old self, each and every one of us in this room, our old self is dead if we're in Christ. That's how we're supposed to live. That's how we're supposed to think, that our old self is dead and we're now alive in Christ. Well, let me ask you this. Can you hurt a dead person? Can you offend them? You can try, but they don't feel it, right? They don't hear the words you're saying. They don't feel the pain you're trying to inflict upon them. The fact is if you're in Christ, your old self is meant to be dead. And so for hurts, wounds, things that offend you and are brought to you are actually meant to pass right through you and go right to Christ, because he took them at the cross. Dead people can't get hurt. Dead people can't be offended. And dead people can't hurt other people. We're called to complete surrender. That's one of the steps in achieving or accomplishing complete forgiveness, is to surrender our lives completely and fully to Christ, to transition from old to new, from death into life. Either way, whatever it is, God does not want you to live in that place. He's paid the price for you. To truly and completely forgive means that you must put to death what you think you're owed, and to be forgiven, you have to surrender your old self to Jesus, because forgiveness will set you free. Forgiveness will set you free. Now we're going to look at some scripture in a moment, and then I'm going to lead you through a process of what you can do just on your own if you're struggling to forgive. Okay, and so we're going to do that in a minute. Just before we get there, I have the sense from the Lord, there's somebody here that you're having problems with your right ear. Okay, and it's right in here, and it goes even behind. I don't know if it's plugged or if it's a deafness, or if it might even be TMJ if you have locked jaw. Okay, but it's on the right side, and I feel the Lord saying that it is directly related to you being unwilling to forgive. And so you might just need to make a choice and say, by faith, God, I'm going to forgive. And as you do that, I think healing is going to come into your body, okay? If that's you, come talk to me later, all right? And we'll pray through it together if you're not already healed and free right now. Anyways, forgiveness will set you free. In Matthew chapter 26, and this is the scripture we're going to use for the process, and you can go back to the scripture again and again. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 36, it says this: Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Jesus understands what it means when for your friends to let you down when you really need them. It says, Then he returned to the disciples and he said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come that the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Of course, we know Judas is his betrayer. Judas, who he had spent 3 years with, daily, spent time with him. And he betrays him. In the Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus begins to take all of humanity's sins upon himself, into his physical body. So what that means is that every murder, every rape, every perversion, every betrayal, every piece of gossip, every sin that humanity could commit began to come upon Jesus there in the garden. And it had an effect upon his physical body. Because sin will affect your physical body. David says in the Psalms that he felt as though his bones were wasting away when he was in sin. And for Jesus, what happened, it says in Luke 22 and 44, it says, "And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." Jesus took the weight of sin into his body to the extent that it caused the capillaries just under the skin to begin to burst, and he was sweating blood. This is a physical part of what was happening to him. Now, emotionally and spiritually, what's happening is he's beginning to experience separation from the Father. And that continues, right? That separation continues to come upon him and come upon him and come upon him until he's on the cross, at which point on the cross he says, "It's finished." Where all of humanity's sins are upon him. And it's there that Jesus, for the first time, experiences the feelings of being betrayed, the feelings of being abandoned, to the point where he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me?" I mean, Jesus is God. This is mind-bending and stunning for us, that he is God. It's as though God has torn himself in half for us. This is the extent to which he loves you. And to which he desires for you to live in full forgiveness, because forgiveness leads us into freedom. Jesus is experiencing the agony of sin on every level, starting in the garden. See, sometimes unforgiveness will lie to us. It'll tell us that maybe God doesn't understand the pain that we're in. We'll think things that maybe nobody else in this world has experienced the pain that I'm experiencing right now. But you have to know this. You have to know and understand that Jesus took every sin for all of history upon himself, starting in the garden. He knows the pain that you're experiencing. He knows it very, very well. Because it's his now. It's not actually yours, because you're supposed to be dead. It's his pain that he's taken upon himself. He knows what it is. Scripture describes that he became sin for us. He didn't just die for our sins, he became sin. So Jesus didn't actually just die for us, he also died as us. He offers complete and full forgiveness. We can be completely free from unforgiveness. So here's the thing, if you're struggling to come into a place of complete forgiveness, to realize the freedom that is there in forgiveness, if you're dealing with that, if you're walking through it and it feels like you're, you know, carrying heavy stuff, the place to go is to the garden. To go to the garden with Jesus. See, now you have to know the garden will lead you to the cross. Sometimes it can be difficult to go right to the cross, especially when you've got hurt and pain and things that you're hanging on to. And so you can go into the garden with Jesus. We're going to teach you a little bit more about that in just a minute. The reason for that you start in the garden, is because the garden is a place of decision. Jesus says, "Father, if there's any other way, we can do this. Let's do that, but okay, we'll do your will, not mine." The garden is a place of decision. Forgiveness starts with a decision. It starts with you saying, "I will forgive." But now, everybody in this room, we've all done that. I hope, right? We've all said, "I will choose to forgive." But then we've experienced that it isn't just that easy. It isn't just that simple. You can't just say the words and it magically happens. Not all the time, not depending on what's going on. The fact is this, is that you still need to deal with the hurts or the regret that might be there. You still have to deal with the emotional side of it. So you make a decision, but the emotions are still there. What does Jesus say when he's in the garden? "I am distraught. I am overwhelmed with sorrow. What's he sorrowful about? Sin. Your sin. And the sin that others have committed against you. That's why you can go to the garden. It's a place where decision happens, and it's a place where you can begin to deal with the sorrow, the regret that you might have. It's a place, the garden is a place to begin to release your hurts and your regret. Because Jesus understands what it is to be overwhelmed with sorrow. He knows the pain that you are experiencing. He knows the things that you've done and the things that you've had done to you. He knows them. And he desires to see you set free. So, here's what we do. Okay, so I've put a picture up there. That's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Ooh, I'm going to fall over there. So here's what we do. In a moment, you're going to close your eyes and you're going to picture Jesus just like that in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you're going to start to talk to him. Jesus, he's a living God, right? It's okay to start with a picture and begin to talk to him. And don't be surprised if he responds to you. Because he's a living God. And he loves you so much, and he desires to see you set free. This is just a starting point. If you want to start somewhere else, if you have a different picture of the garden, you go ahead and use that. I'm just trying to help people out by giving you one. So you close your eyes, and you picture Jesus in the garden, and you talk to him, and you watch what's happening to him as he's falling down, and he's praying. And he's saying, God, if there's any other way to do this, because the burden of sin is so heavy and so difficult. And understand that that is your sin on him right there. The one who's never known it, who had never experienced it, becomes sin for you. And then, if you have been hurt and you're having difficulty forgiving somebody, as you understand and you say, Jesus, I recognize that's my sin that's brought you to this place. That blood that you're sweating is because of my sin. It's then that you can begin to say to him, and I realize and I recognize right now that those have hurt me, their sin's right there too. Their sin's there too. Because then you can begin to release to him the hurt, the regret you might have. You can begin to release to him any sorrow you might feel in your heart. And you give it over to him. He happily takes it. Hebrews 12:2, which I don't have on a screen, but it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He desires to see you set free. So, right where you are, I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes. I know there's kids in here. Just let them run around. It'll be okay. All right? And if you're a kid and you want to do this, you please feel free. I find Jesus often speaks to kids way more clearly than he does to us adults, because us adults get all kinds of other stuff going on in our brains. But everybody's welcome to do this. So I'm just going to invite you right where you are right now. Shut your eyes. Close your eyes and try not to pay attention to anybody else around you. Moms, dads, thank you so much. I know your kids are probably going to poke at you and prod at, but thank you. So close your eyes and begin to focus on Jesus in the garden. Begin to thank him for what he's done for you. Don't talk about anybody else's sin but yours. Thank you, Jesus, that you took my sin. That you took Blair's sin. You took mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you went into the garden. And Jesus, you made the choice to take my sin. Jesus, I see the weight, the burden, the sorrow that it's bringing to you. And I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me, God, for the times that I've held on to unforgiveness. To the times where I've had trouble receiving your forgiveness. The times where I've held on to regret. Jesus, I release that to you right now because you know my sorrow. You know it. And you don't want me to live there. Jesus, I ask now that you would speak into people's lives. Speak to hearts and to minds right now, God, for those that need to forgive or to those that need forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This morning, if you're struggling through this a little bit, you might even just want to ask and say, Jesus, do you forgive me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you invite us to come into the garden, just like you did with Peter and James and John. You invite us to come in and to be with you. And that, Jesus, we can come back here at any point, at any time, and release to you, to give to you our hurts, our disappointment, our regrets. That we can be set free. God, I pray now that not one of us would leave this place burdened with unforgiveness or burdened with regrets. Lord, may you set us, your people, free. Completely, wholly, fully, we pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you've taken our sin, that you've taken the sin of those who have hurt us and offended us and wounded us and betrayed us. Thank you, Jesus, that you have taken their sin as well. Lord, we receive from you this morning your full forgiveness, your freedom that you have for us. Thank you. We pray this, Jesus, in your beautiful name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't rush away. Just sit and sit with the love of God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you need to just know how much he loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God, I pray now that your love would soften hearts and minds. To the heart that's hard and rocky right now, Jesus, we speak that your spirit, the oil of your spirit, would soften and bring into places of full forgiveness, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. So it's in this place that you are right now that we're going to move into communion. And we should take it, I would hope that we take it just a little bit differently today with the recognition, right, of what he has done for us. Of his body and his blood. So I'm going to invite those that are going to serve. John and the worship team are going to come up. Actually, just for those that are going to serve, if you just wait a minute.